Hey, well, look, we've got another one of these. Sing it, Cliff.
Mayo, Simon Mayo.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast.
Greatest Hits Radio.
It's the way he goes, greatest hits. It's the... If I'm going to... It's the enunciation of the words.
She is a devil woman.
I think it actually is Cliff Richard. I think Cliff's doing our jingles.
Is he?
I think... That's why this podcast is a treat, because they said to Cliff, what do you think, Cliff? Do you want to sing a jingle for the new Confessions podcast on Greatest Hits? And he thought, you know what? That sounds like a good gig.
Before we go on a summer holiday. Yeah?
Very good.
But don't pay the ferryman.
No, that's Chris de Burgh.
Is what?
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, forget that.
Oh, you failed.
Well, we quickly reached the limits
pretty much
of your pop knowledge. Nope. Very good for summer holiday, very poor for the ferryman.
Okay.
Anyway, this is the third and final, for now, Confessions podcast, courtesy of Greatest Hits Radio, where incredibly sinful members of the audience get to share their tales of deceit, debauchery, nudity, deception. I know the alliteration went because I just popped nudity in there. They need some forgiveness from Sister Susie from the pub, Brother Matt from the gutter, and the good people of the UK. The final instalment from our summer trilogy includes some more of our favourite tales we've had since Drive Time returned by popular demand in March. We start with one of Sister Susie's favourites, Trisha's confession, Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. Funeral tales are the gifts that keep on giving. Dear Father Simon, my confession takes us back to when my friend and neighbour Joan had sadly passed away. I was talking to her daughter, offering condolences and asking when and where the funeral was going to be. She informed me it was to be the following week, on Friday at the Creme, 1:30 p.m. Well, that's fine for me, I thought, because I don't work Fridays, so that's okay. Next Friday came around, I dutifully got myself ready, wearing an appropriate dark-coloured, sombre-looking outfit. Though I had lived in this particular town some years, I'd never been to a funeral, and I got lost on the way to the crematorium and arrived a little late. When I arrived, I could see the empty hearse outside the building, and people were already filing in, but I had to wait until they'd all entered before I could pass and park my car. Veteran confession listeners will know... Probably where this is heading. After eventually finding a parking space, I rushed back and opened the door to the crematorium to find it was packed inside and the service had already started. But a kindly gentleman waved me over to the back row. He scooted over and allowed me to sit down. I sat and thought, well, that all went rather smoothly eventually. After a few minutes of catching my breath and getting my bearings, I started to look around for people I knew would be there. I couldn't see anyone. Even surreptitiously stood up to see the front row.
Yeah.
I couldn't see my neighbour's daughters or husband. Then I heard the celebrant talking about Dorothy.
Oh, dear.
Dorothy? I thought, who the hell is Dorothy? Suddenly dawned on me, in a mouth-drying, stomach-churning second, I was at the wrong funeral. What to do, what to do? Well... After talking about Dorothy for a while, the funeral...
I mean, pretty much as you would expect.
I mean, fair enough.
For a while, you know. Oh, not Dorothy again.
Well... Okay, move it on then, celebrant. The funeral celebrant started... Here's the bit. Here's the humdinger. The funeral celebrant started to walk up the centre aisle with the microphone in hand, asking different people what they remembered best about Dorothy.
Oh, no.
This is a bad idea at any funeral, surely. Well, I thought I can't be that unlucky. But no, God's wrath was upon me that day. As she arrived at the back row, she leaned over and asked me. Me!
Oh, no.
I was supposed to be at Joan's funeral. Anyway, she asked me, panic rising at this point, what I remembered about Dorothy. Well, a number of things ran through my mind at this point. I could pretend to be so choked up that I couldn't speak, but I'm not that good an actress. I could just mumble something about she was kind or she was funny, but maybe she wasn't, and everyone was there to make...
I mean, you don't want to be inaccurate, do you? No.
Maybe, maybe she was mean and boring.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone was there just to make sure she was really dead and gone. So the only option I had left, and which seemed at the time a sensible option, was to turn, stand on the pew, leap off and run for the door. So that's what I did. I stood up, turned round, stepped onto the pew, leapt over it. And I was going to run for the door, but as I did so, the belt on my coat got caught on something. So rather than being able to run, I was stuck, chained to the pew. At this point, I heard a gasp, so instead of struggling with the belt, I took off my coat, pulled it free of the belt, and bolted for the door, leaving the belt behind. Well, leaving the belt and a crematorium full of people with shocked expressions on their faces and wondering what the heck had just happened. Outside, I just hightailed it into my car, started it, literally peeled out of there, leaving several inches of rubber in the car park and driving like a bat out of hell until I was clear of the graveyard and the whole deeply embarrassing mess. Father Simon and the Worshipful Collective, I ask for forgiveness from Dorothy's family, friends and the poor lady conducting the service for creating such a spectacle at a funeral that until that point, my escape had been a rather nice service. I still have no idea who Dorothy was. By the way, my neighbour's funeral was the following Friday. Her daughter just assumed it would be Friday week, not 2 weeks away. But luckily, after the correct funeral, I was also able to retrieve my belt from the crematorium's office. I explained rather shamefacedly I was collecting it for a friend. I don't think they believed me. I'm sure they were laughing and pointing at me as I left. Yours in utter disgrace. It's from Tricia. Tonight's story from Tricia Sharp there on the fade is... you're not at the World Service now. Okay, so let's see the people's verdict. Sister Susie, producer of the programme from the pub, what do you think?
Well, it was just a number of errors one after each other, isn't it? Who has that much bad luck that not only do you get lost, you arrive late, you get picked on, you're at the wrong funeral, then your belt gets stuck when you try to leave.
Trying to escape.
It's just, I can't, you're forgiven, Tricia, from me, because you went through all of that. I think it's fair enough.
Okay, Brother Matthew, now.
I mean, is this now a thing where they come down the centre aisle and ask for everyone to give
it? I don't.
I've never been to a funeral where that's happened. It's a funeral, not The Price is Right. Come on.
Yeah, it has to be the not a good... idea.
It's not a good idea at all.
If you're at any time.
Definitely not. I mean, it seems a bit of an extreme reaction, Tricia, if I may say, to jump over the pew and rip off your belt. But you know, who
amongst us... Just say she was such a lovely lady.
Loved life. So I am going to forgive, because, you know, we'd have all done the same apart from the leaping over the pew. But it's well within your rights, Tricia, to leap over the pews.
Confessions.
The podcast.
Father Simon and the Forgiving Crew. My tale goes back a few years to when I was running a cycling B&B in the Veneto region of northern Italy. During our 10 years of running the B&B, we had visitors from all over the world, from places as diverse as Australia, Canada, many parts of Europe, and of course, America. Around 2017, I actually had a group of friends staying with me from my native northeast of England, which is quite a relief from some of the groups of needy and somewhat incompetent American riders, some of whom could hardly change gear and had propensity for dressing in very loud cycling shirts. This opening bout of xenophobia over, we move on. Needy American cyclists,
right. Okay.
So there we were, a group of six friends out riding in perfect weather in some of the most stunning cycling locations known to man. Our ride for the day was a nice warm-up along the valley floor before taking on the 11-kilometre climb to the beautiful little mountain town of Castello Tesino for some well-deserved espresso and gelato. The climb was typically Italian, with lots of hairpin bends and great views along the way. At around the halfway point, there was a particularly beautiful viewpoint where I usually stopped with guests for the obligatory photo opportunity. As we all lined up with our phones and cameras, I took out my phone, which had a function on it, where instead of pressing a button to take a picture, you only had to say cheese and the camera would take the picture. At this point, I did a little bit of research and found out this is definitely true. It's a Samsung Galaxy that has this feature.
You say cheese and it takes a picture.
Agreed.
Instead
yes, that's
of just
what happened.
Pressing a button.
Quite a bonus feature for a non-fruit-based device, says Bernard. We all lined up on the bridge overlooking the view to the valley below. I called out cheese and my phone clicked, taking the photo. I then noticed my friend, we'll call him Bob, do a quick double take, looking at me in amazement said, how did you do that? Seeing which way this was heading and knowing that his fruit-based phone didn't have this function, I said, oh, you just turn on your camera, you point to what you want it to take a photograph, and you just shout, cheese. Oh, cool, said Bob. Immediately held up his phone to take a picture. Cheese, he said. Of course, nothing happened. Bob looked a bit disappointed. Try a bit louder. Maybe it's volume-related. I said, cheese! Bob shouts, no avail. But this time, the rest of the lads are cottoning on. Mate, a little bit louder. Cheese! The mightiest cheese of all time. It echoes down the valley, but still nothing. I know what it might be. I said, we're in Italy. Try formaggio, because it might adapt straight away. You know, it changes to the Italian phone company. Yeah. Anyway, so we do the whole thing. Formaggio! Still nothing. Biting my lip, I say, bit louder.
Oh, no.
And so on. The most thunderous formaggio resounding down the valley, bouncing off cliff walls. Birds took to the air. Other land-based creatures bolted for cover. Maybe it's made in Germany. Try Kaza. Maybe it's made in China. Chisu. Maybe it's Swedish. Ost. Maybe it's a Spanish phone.
Queso.
There you go. Try that. Queso! Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Strange. I said that function must be turned off. You'll have to go into your settings, Bob, yeah, to activate. We don't have time. We've got to saddle up. Come on. Bob, by now, puce of face and sweating with all the shouting, forlornly put his phone away. Later that evening, he spent an epic session in his phone settings looking for the cheese function that just wasn't there. He even tried the voice activating thing. Siri, find me cheese.
Find me cheese.
Father Simon, I would like to ask forgiveness. Firstly, from Bob, who never did access the cheese function despite many, many hours of scrolling through his settings. Secondly, for terrifying the wildlife of northern Italy. Already have enough to contend with Italian hunters taking pot shots at them. Which sounds like another story
yes,
altogether.
It does. Okay.
And also to the cheese sellers of many nearby mountain farms who must have been preparing tables full of locally made cheese in anticipation of very hungry travellers who sounded mad for a bit of formaggio or queso. Or cheese soup, or just cheese. Anyway, Bernard it is sending in tonight's tale. What do we say to Bernard for apps? He was a little bit cruel, maybe, on his friend Bob. He never explained to Bob he just had the wrong phone, which didn't have the right function. Sister Susie from the pub.
Oh, Bernard, that really, really, my cheeks are hurting. That was very, very funny. I don't think there was any malice in it. And after the evening of spending looking for the cheese function, he probably did tell him, hopefully, or someone did, that it was the wrong phone. So I feel like that was just a bit of a laugh. We all had a giggle. What's the harm? I'm going to forgive.
Okay, looking good for Bernard. What do you say, Matthew?
Well, obviously, that got very Dolmio advert midway through that, didn't it? Bob, it doesn't strike me as the brightest individual. Controversial, I know, but I don't think he is. The best bit of that is Bob spending the evening going through his settings.
Cheese.
Trying to find,
I need some cheese.
Find my cheese. Someone is writing that app even as we speak. So I'm going to forgive because, you know, we've all got a friend who, bluntly, not the sharpest tool. And if you're going to have them shouting cheese into the valley, then you're going to take it. So, yeah, definitely forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast on Greatest Hits Radio.
That was Bernard's confession, possibly Bernard. Everybody must say cheese, which prompted some very Gouda cheese puns. Now, should I...
Good. Say it'll be good
oh,
cheese.
Good.
Good. Gouda.
Oh, Gouda.
Gouda.
Gouda. Very Gouda cheese.
Oh. Well, I'm not...
E-damn it. Hey? E-damn it.
Nice.
Come on.
Nice.
Some very Gouda cheese puns in the people's verdict, including this one.
And finally, Brian, who's after my own heart, says, cheesy come, cheesy go, let him brie.
Think you can do feta?
Oh, yeah.
If that's jogged your memory of a confession that you would like to fess up to, send it in. Here's the email address, first time of many, I'm going to say it, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. This is the part of the pod where we would like to delve into the postbox and catch up on any confessions-related correspondence. what a large post bag we have here at Greatest Hits Radio.
Huge.
Huge. Massive.
So if you subscribe to the podcast or you just want to tell us how much you love us, you can email confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. We might read it out in future podcasts. There are even rumours that there might be a coveted car sticker up for grabs. I'm yet to see any evidence of that.
No, have they arrived? What's this?
Not yet. Maybe they'll come while we're on holiday.
Okay.
Maybe they will and maybe they won't.
Who knows?
Maybe they don't actually exist.
I'm betting one of those two things will
maybe
happen.
It's just a line I'm being given to make me feel happy, where actually they'll just be crushing disappointment when I come back.
Lovely.
Any sign of the stickers, I'll say to Susie, well,
no.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. If we get any, we'll pass them on, obviously, because we don't need more than 100 each. Anyway, here's Darren's mini confession. Matt's got this.
Yes. So Darren emailed in to say, "Hi, Simon and the gang. I have confession. A few years ago, my daughter woke me up around 3 a.m. to tell me that there was a spider in her room and that she needed evicting so she could get some sleep. Mm-hmm. I sleepy walked into her room to find the biggest spider on the wall. Trying to be all macho like Super Dad, I grabbed at the spider. However, I dropped the spider onto her bed. Being very sleepy, I pretended to throw it out of the window just so I could go back to bed. She still doesn't know to this day that she shared her bed with this monster spider. Oops. Kind regards, Darren Lloyd from Birmingham." So, well, it'll have been a daddy long legs, won't it?
Tiny spider. Whenever any member of my family says, "Can you cut this in? The most enormous spider. It's huge." I can't even see it. And it's like one of those money spiders. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely tiny.
Well,
but what if it was as big as his hand?
It wasn't.
Then it had escaped from somewhere, Suze, because they're not native to these shores.
Yes,
that's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right. Guaranteed it was it was the tiniest spider in the history of Birmingham.
No, I'm on the daughter's side here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Birmingham is famous for having tiny spiders. It's the talk of the West Midlands.
Is it
really?
Is that how it works?
In Coventry, they go, "Look at our spiders." Uh-huh. In Birmingham, pathetic.
Okay.
Anyway, mini confessions are welcome because we wouldn't spin that out into a whole thing on the programme, but it's worth a para. So, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. I'm in mood for another jingle. Let's see what happens here.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. The podcast. Greatest Hits Radio.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
Bit of rock in that.
That was.
Yeah.
I think that was Brian May on guitar for that one. We pushed the boat out. He did an interview with us, and then he played a little bit of guitar.
Could you do a jingle for us as well, Brian?
And he said, sure.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. The podcast. Greatest Hits Radio.
So, time to highlight the confessions that didn't quite make the cut. Riri, it doesn't matter that after your daughter relieved herself in the soft place.
Oh my, what?
On the soft place line. You were going to get a mop and clean it up. In the meantime, a granddad in cords had whooshed down and said the slide had a very soggy bottom. None of this is okay to be read out at tea
time.
Well,
hang on. What's the granddad doing going on the soft place slide? That's not on.
That's true, just getting involved.
There's always a sign that says,
if you're
over six or something,
you can't go on the slides.
Granddad, jog on. Get off there with your corduroys.
Yes,
mind
indeed.
You, it's very useful to have corduroys because they would mop up any extra toilet
tissue. They use that in the adverts, do they? Mops it up.
You know those kind of trousers that they advertise in the Sunday papers?
Yeah.
Those kind of trousers with
elasticated ones.
They're the ones.
Oh, brilliant.
Brown.
Okay. What can we say? Getting money out of a supermarket for finding a prophylactic in a jar of jam, only to remember after they offered you compensation that it was you, that put it there months earlier as a stag do prank on your housemate. Shame on you.
In general, stag do pranks never get
never,
on.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
They're not
ever,
because
ever
they aren't funny. No, I mean, they're just cringeworthy.
Yeah, they're not even that funny at the time, if we're honest.
I don't want to read them.
Yeah, I didn't even like that one. Maybe it was the way Matt read it.
It was.
I think it was. Wayne, we appreciate the effort of all you and your mates for rearranging the decorative cobblestones in the village garden. However, what I don't appreciate is what you spell out with
obviously knew that was coming. Yeah.
What did he spell out?
Oh.
Rod, you might have been going above and beyond for your customer when you offered to pick up their car for its service. And technically, it wasn't your fault that the fancy keys opened a car that was similar to yours, but it still counts as theft. as you took something that wasn't yours or his, and that counts as breaking the law.
Mm-hmm. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
I fought the law and the law won. Yes. And I think you'll find that is the motto of this feature. Yes. If you break the law, we're not interested in
it. No, we're not. No.
Absolutely not.
P, your mate may well have snapped his Achilles tendon earlier that year, but that doesn't make it okay for popping him in a wheelchair and blagging better seats at a Depeche Mode concert.
No.
Especially when you were surrounded by people who actually needed the special viewing area. That is not okay.
No, that's good. Exactly the kind of thing that that we would never put on the radio because it's definitely wrong.
It's it's not even funny.
Just to be absolutely clear, these confessions are not okay. So, I mean, I don't know why we've mentioned them, really, but obviously...
Great feature.
We plan to profit out of them in some way. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk is where you send yours. Back to this week's confessions, and time to revisit the confession with the Bruce Springsteen gig featuring the finest of American accents. As ever, here we go. You're welcome. Anonymous in Hampshire. Before I start, I must state that I realise I have no chance of being forgiven, but anyway, here goes. Father Simon, Reverend Matt, Sister Susie, I seek forgiveness from those present for an incident that happened many, many years back. It was 2003, to be honest, and it's late summer, and my work colleague was getting married, and he decided that the best place to have a stag night would be Las Vegas, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Well, four nights of it, to be precise. The only slight problem was that the flight the others were booked on was now full, so I'd have to travel out separately and meet them in Vegas. There weren't many direct flights to Vegas in those days, so for some reason I booked a flight to Vegas via two-night stopover in Boston. I'd never been to Boston before, so this seemed like a sensible choice. So, at the beginning of September, I flew on my own to Boston. A seven-hour flight, the time difference meant I went to bed quite early, and on the first morning, as a consequence, was wide awake, raring to go 4:30 a.m. I generally amused myself till about 10, and then thought, what should I try next? And then a brainwave. I'd always fancied watching a baseball game, and the Boston Red Sox played at the iconic Fenway Park in Boston.
Of course.
So I caught the subway line. It was near to the Fenway as I could get, and rather sheepishly wandered up to the outskirts of the stadium. To my surprise, there were hot dog and burger stands already being erected. This must be a good sign. Must be a game on. However, there wasn't a box office that I could see. So I ventured up to one of the shady characters hanging around, plucked up the courage to ask and said, "Excuse me, do you know if there are any tickets left for today? Will the box office be open?" "You want tickets for tonight?" said, said one of them.
Oh, now, here we go. Now, here we go. Yeah.
Now, this guy, I'm going to call him Bob, although I never actually found out his real name, but his wife was definitely called Marlene. Bob looked toward me and said, "What do you think, Marlene?" Marlene just nodded to Bob, and they then approached me. I truly did not know what to expect. "You over from England for this, boy?" said Bob. Yes. "Well, me and Marlene are here from Texas, and our son, who was supposed to make the journey with us, couldn't make it, so we got three tickets, and there's only two of us." "Right," I said. "How much do you want for the spare ticket?" "Oh, no, son," he said. "You come all the way from that there, England. We don't want any money. We're just happy our ticket's going to someone who really wants it." He placed the folded paper ticket into the palm of my hand, squeezed my hand closed. "See you tonight, son," says Bob. Gives me a salute, he and Marlene wander off down the street. I walk quickly away. I think better check the ticket, see if the Red Sox are playing. I unfolded the ticket that Bob had so generously given me, looked again to see who the opposition was, and it wasn't a game. It was actually Bruce Springsteen.
What?
Who was playing at Fenway Park in Boston. I was now shaking with expectation. It's nearly midday. The concert wasn't until the evening, so I did to do what any sensibly minded person of a certain age would do. To kill the time, I'd go to the Cheers bar and have a few cold beers and a Norm burger.
Obviously.
After a while, and after a few beers, I returned to my hotel to have a shower and freshen up in readiness for meeting up with Bob and Marlene for the concert of a lifetime. Put the TV on, the local news was full of the upcoming concert. I can remember being amazed at just how much coverage it was getting. I put my feet up on the bed, stared at the television. The afternoon sun was shining brightly through the hotel room window. I better get down to Fenway in plenty of time, I thought, to get in the atmosphere. I blinked my eyes, but as my eyes opened again, I sensed something was wrong. For a couple of seconds, I couldn't work it out, but something was definitely wrong. The TV was still on, the light, but it wasn't quite so bright. And then I realized the light was not the afternoon sun, but the street lights outside. It was dark. I grabbed my watch.
Oh, no.
Horror of horrors, it was 12:45 in the morning. My momentary blink was actually an 8.5-hour sleep by a jet-lagged man full of beer and burgers. I think I actually cried. I've never told my friends about my stupidity. What can I do? I mean, I seek forgiveness not only from Bob and Marlene, who must have thought they'd given their prize ticket, going for about $700, to some English bloke who couldn't even be bothered to turn up, but from every music-loving person in the country who probably cannot believe that someone thrust a Bob Springsteen ticket into their hand and then nodded off and missed the concert of a lifetime. It's tonight's confession. What do you say, Sister Susie?
I can't forgive that, I'm afraid. Think of Bob and Marlene sat there in an empty seat next to them after they generously gave him
the
ticket.
Yes, I was thinking
sorry.
That.
No, okay, not
it was
forgiven.
A nice music fade underneath that, I thought. Very good.
Yes.
Bill Gates takes the blame. Matthew, what do you say?
Well, I think, it's fair to say Anonymous has suffered enough knowing that he missed out on seeing Bruce Springsteen at Fenway Park, which obviously all of us would give our eye teeth to be able to attend that kind of event. However, I'm going to forgive, and the reason I'm going to forgive is very selfish. It's because we got the chance to hear you doing accents again, and it's been too long.
You're so right.
Diggity dog. Bus hog back on drive time. Loving it. So right. Yes, forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions, the podcast. Greatest Hits
Radio. Simon, for years I have kept this secret for fear of ruining my professional reputation that I've worked so hard to build in my local community. Many see me as an honest, hard-working woman. Oh, can I just say before we go any further, if you're having your tea, there is a little element of maybe you might just want to pause. Just as a little kind of public safety announcement.
Okay.
Honest, hard-working woman in a public sector role, a public figure who champions integrity and exemplifies professionalism. Like the sound of this person. However, I harbour a stomach-churning dark secret that if it ever becomes public, I will be run out of town like a renegade in a cowboy film. I have many weaknesses, I suppose we all do, but my weakness is a stomach that doesn't cope very well with a combination of tapas followed by sangria, lager, wine and shots of something or other. Many other Scottish women see this as a standard night out, but I, on the other hand, prefer a nice cup of tea and an episode of Mastermind. Anyway, says Anonymous, a few years ago, I had tickets to a gig in Glasgow to see Dennis Le Courier of Doctor Hook fame at the well-known venue Oran Mór in Glasgow's West End. I met my friends in a lovely Spanish tapas restaurant in the famous Ashton Lane, where we enjoyed lots of Rioja, Sangria, Corona Lager, and some food. I know you know where this is heading. After copious amounts of alcohol and the odd little plate of patatas bravas, we all headed off on the short walk. Where on arrival, we had some more wine, beer, and shots. We had a great night and left in a very merry state with Sylvia's mother ringing in our ears. A quick subway trip, another walk to Glasgow Central, and a sprint in a pair of heels meant that we caught the infamous last train from Glasgow Central. So infamous, Billy Connolly wrote a song about it. The train was rammed. It was stinking of a combination of chips and cheese, chips and gravy, chips and curry sauce, and fish and chips, stale booze, and more chips. I managed to get a seat in a set of four. I was opposite my friend, beside a couple who occupied the window seats. This couple were facing each other with a small table between them, upon which were two polystyrene tubs of chips soaked in vinegar. As the rickety train moved from side to side and swayed backwards and forwards, I shut my eyes, and just for a moment, I was exhausted from all the pogo dancing to Dr. Hook classics. Just as a point of reference at this point, I don't think you pogo to Dr. Hook, do you?
No, not really. No.
Your Honour. Anyway, I tried to focus on the other passengers singing songs, but could only open my mouth a fraction to try and join in the Scottish chants of I Would Walk 500 Miles. I glanced at the couple next to me and noticed they'd fallen asleep, or more likely in a food coma, given all the chips they'd stuffed into their faces. My stop was almost at the end of the line, so the train wasn't as busy. However, a group of brain donors remained on the train, behaving like Neanderthals, shouting profanities at anyone who dared make eye contact. I, being a woman of class, was rather disgusted with their antics. My stop neared and I got up to alight from the train, remembering to take my belongings, as the helpful lady announced that my train was about to stop. I tottered towards the door in my heels, holding my carrier bag. At this point, one of the Neanderthals stood in my path. Now, I'm going to do this as a Cockney accent, even though clearly this wasn't going to be...
One of the Neanderthals
stood in my path and said, "All right, doll, give us a kiss and I'll let you pass me." Followed by, "How about a wee dance then, eh?" And then, "What's the password, eh?" As he playfully jumped from side to side. I knew he was only having fun, so decided a kick in the Davina McCall's would have been a little harsh. So I said, "I am not going to kiss you. I do not want to dance with you, and the password is kebab and chips." At which point, I lifted the carrier bag to his eye line and said, "You want this? It's still warm." He put his hand to the bottom of the bag. His eyes lit up and said, "Seriously?" I said, "Of course, you deserve it." He took the bag from me, planted a kiss on my cheek and told me that I was a top bird. He turned to his friends whilst holding the bag aloft and said, "Lads, kebab and chips, wahey!" At this point, obviously we've skipped a bit. At this point, the train was stopping and I was at the door, desperately waiting for the doors to open. As I jumped off, I watched five guys flock around this apparent takeaway like pigeons around a slice of bread in George Square. I gave them a wave as they blew me kisses. I quickly scurried away. As you may have realised, my carrier bag did not contain kebab and chips or anything that recognised... food, for that matter, but it had proved very helpful to me about 10 minutes earlier. Simon, I seek forgiveness for my sick joke, which has probably left these young men scarred for life. I'm sorry for the stench that hit them square in the face. Da-da-da, missed that one, missed that one. Don't read that bit. I feel guilty that I got up the next day feeling magic, having ridden myself... I'm not going to read that bit. Anyway, never again will I drink sangria before a gig. Ever, ever, ever. Please, Father Simon, will you forgive me? Anonymous, somewhere on the west coast of Scotland, in a very important job, doing very important things. Sister Susie, I think we cleaned that up nicely, didn't we? I think we got there.
I think we got there. Yeah, it was good in the end. Well, we've all been there, I think. Not eating enough dinner, got a bit too excited, had a bit too much fun, went a bit too far. I'm just glad that she wasn't poorly in the establishment that she was drinking or dancing in, because I've been there on the other side of the door.
Yes,
and it's not pretty and it's not nice.
No, okay.
So I've had to clean it up. But yeah, I also would be disgusted by the gentleman's antics, so I feel like they deserved it.
Okay.
I probably would have given him a kick in the Davina McCall's.
You should see, Brother Matthew, you should see what we took out of this particular tale. But what do you say?
I can only imagine. I'm obviously going to forgive because absolutely he deserved whatever was coming his way. And a great appearance there from Patatas Bravas and
Patatas
Sangria.
Bravas.
Well done. I'm obviously going to forgive, if only because it's a first example of Simon editing on the fly.
Yes.
I haven't quite read all of it, but I'm just going to edit on the fly. So,
I thought it was okay, and then I realised that it probably wasn't going to be okay because it's tea
it's
time and everything.
Okay.
That was the confession we called Huey Lewis, and that's the news. Clever, huh? I think that's
very smart.
Anyway, from our anonymous confessee from somewhere in the west coast of Scotland in a very important job doing very important things. One of the only sick-related confessions that actually makes it through.
Oh,
because, again, that's one of the things that if it involves vomit or if it involves... Well, although, no. I mean, it is in general a rule. If it's illegal, if it comes from a member of the armed forces...
Yes, a stag do.
Yeah, stag do.
Any of those.
They're unlikely to get on, basically. No. Trust us, we know what we're talking about. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Maybe if you got this far, you're thinking, you know what, I should almost certainly cough up. to send in my own confession, and I'll get a smart speaker if they use it on the radio show. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Who knows, if you're keen enough, we might be able to come back with some more of these.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Aren't these great ideas?
So it's down to people listening.
And don't forget, you can hear the whole radio show every weekday from 4 on Greatest Hits Radio. We'll be back on the 31st of August. Catch up with Richard Allinson, who's doing the show in the meantime. Top guy he is. And we're enjoying our first summer holiday together. Where are we going on holiday together, by the way?
I thought we would go to the bottom of my road. That's where I thought we'd go.
Why would we go there?
There's a park there. And yes, and it'd be nice and convenient for me. That's why I was thinking.
No, I think we should just go to Susie's pub. We can just stay there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can come visit the pub.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Get crisps for free?
Anyway, obviously, we haven't thought this bit out. Chances are, like most plans, are just go, oh, should we stay?
We'll just stay.
Anyway, so Matt says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Susie says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. And here's another jingle. Which one should we play? Number 11.
Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast on Greatest Hits Radio.